present Nicholas Parsons, Clement Freud, and Geraldine Jones in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is this week's chairman, Kenneth Williams.
Thank you, yes, it's me, your own heart-rendingly lovable Kenneth Williams. And here I am, surrounded by buzzers, stopwatches, and a lot of rules. I also have a list of unlikely subjects for the panel to talk about for 60 seconds each, without pausing, without going off the subject, and without repetition. In other words, keeping going and sticking to the point and not repeating themselves. Now, it's Nicholas Parsons to start, and your subject this week is the days of the week starting from now.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Mardi, Lundi, Mercredi, Jeudi, Vendredi, Samedi, Dimanche. Lunes, Mardis, Miercoles, Jueves, Viernes, Sabado, Domingo. It's so interesting sometimes to listen to the wireless and you hear the announcer say that tomorrow will be muggy, followed by tugy, weggy, thurgy, waggy, sorry, and soggy. And of course, soggy are so many the days of the week in this country. Wet, miserable, and eventually so wet that you sometimes wonder why you ever get up in the morning to face the British weather. Now, the days of the week that...
Clement Freud, what grounds are you challenging?
Repetition.
Repetition, yes. Well, I think you're justified there. Yes, I think there was a bit of repetition there. Yes.
What did I repeat?
Well, I can't exactly recall what, but I know there was a repeat. Well, perhaps you'd better ask the audience. Do you think he was repeating himself? If so, cheer.
Yes.
Oh, well, that's
I admit it.
Oh, there was repetition. Right, well, there's a point to you, Clement Freud, and you have the subject, the days of the week, starting from now.
The days of the week is situated in the Chapter Hall of London University and is one of the most splendid buildings of its kind anywhere in any European capital city. The president of this...
Yes, well, Clement Freud, you were still speaking when the bell went, so you get a point. And at the moment, you are leading, and Nicholas Parsons and Miss Geraldine Jones are trailing along behind.
We haven't scored yet.
Now we go to the next subject. This goes to you, Geraldine. You have 60 seconds to speak about parking meters starting from now.
The essential thing to remember about parking meters is that you must always treat them with respect and affection. There are some inanimate objects like can openers which you can successfully bully, but parking meters should always be treated rather as you treat donkeys. You should feed them little coins as you feed donkeys sugar lumps. And in this way, you establish a bond with the parking meter against the traffic warden, because the parking meter doesn't like the traffic warden.
Nicholas Parsons?
I thought there was rather a lot of parking meters with repetition. But
yes.
Four, I've counted.
I've got quite worked up, though. I loved all that stuff about the donkey.
Well, her parking meter's in a very expensive area, obviously. But there were four of them.
There were four. Mm. Were there four parking meters? Well, there was repetition then, I'm afraid. Yes, I have to take that point. Nicholas gets a point for that. And the subject goes to you, Nicholas. You have 35 seconds in which to discuss parking meters starting from now.
The best thing to do if you have a car is to put a parking meter on the back seat before you set off. Having arrived at your destination, you get out, you stick it straight into the ground, and then you...
Clement Freud?
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yes. I'm quite justified. There was hesitation there, yes. No question about that. There's a weedy bitty hesitation there.
Mr. Williams.
The subject goes to Clement Freud. You have 23 seconds in which to discuss parking meters starting from now.
It is a little known fact that these parking meters also accept coins of other denominations and other countries. I'm not sure whether I shall be allowed to go on with this because we're now ranging on the criminal activities, but any parking meter in London accepts 1 cent...
Nicholas Parsons?
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yes, I feel that's quite justified. You were hesitating there. I did feel that, yes. You don't agree?
Of course he doesn't agree.
Oh, well, we'd like the audience's views on that.
No, you don't.
No, we'd like the audience's view on that. Do you think Clement Freud was hesitating? If so, boo. Oh, they do think you were hesitating. Yes. So Nicholas Parsons gets point. And Nicholas, you have 7 seconds approximately in which to discuss parking meters starting from now.
Having...
Clement Freud, you're challenging again.
Hesitation. He didn't start.
Hesitation. Yes, that's perfectly justified. So the subject goes back to Clement Freud, and you gain a point. And you have now 6 seconds in which to discuss parking meters, starting from now.
They are...
Hesitation.
On what grounds are you challenging?
Hesitation.
Hesitation?
Exactly the same as me. He got me on that. I'll get him as well, then.
I will not have my authority flouted. I am the chairman. No, don't laugh. It's wicked. I am the chairman. Yes. Now, I've got to
decide. I don't want to flout with you, Kay.
I can't keep on appealing to the audience. You must understand. Now, you retain the point, Clement, and you must discuss bargaining meters. You have approximately 5 seconds, starting from now.
In Northumberland Avenue, these parking meters are situated at 5-yard intervals.
Yes, well, at the end of that round, Clement is definitely in the lead. Clement Freud is in the lead. Nicholas is next, and I'm afraid Geraldine is trailing very far behind. So now we go on to the next subject, which is Clement Freud's. You have 60 seconds. In which to discuss wine, women, and song, starting from now.
To put it succinctly, Chateauneuf du Pape, 1949, Daphne, Deirdre, God Save the Queen. Now this, you may well think, is not the ideal way of discussing wine, women, and song, but for a married man with only 53 seconds to go, it's a sort of good try.
All right, Nicholas Parsons, your
deviation. I've got a watch in front of me. He actually has more or less than 53 seconds to go.
Oh, well, yes. So that's a very good point. Very good point. Yes, you gain a point there from Nicholas. And the subject is yours, Why Women and Song, which we'll discuss now for approximately 35 seconds, starting from now.
Nuit Saint-Georges, 1963. Cecilia, Cynthia, and Obadiah. And songs, oh, Take Me to the Moon and Come Again, Charlie. Delightful songs. And if you ever put all these three together, you have the title of this particular subject that I've been asked to talk about for the remaining seconds that are available to me for wine, women, and...
Yes, Geraldine Jones, why are you challenging?
Repetition.
Repetition, yes, I'm afraid. It's perfectly reasonable, I'm afraid. Yes, Geraldine Jones gains a point, and the subject is hers now. Why Women and Song, you have approximately 14 seconds starting from now.
I don't think I've ever been less well qualified to talk about a subject than I am to talk about this one. I know very...
Clem Freud, why...
Deviation.
Deviation,
she's
yes.
not qualified.
Yes,
shut
I'm afraid,
up.
So. Absolutely. Yes. Clement, you gain a point there, and the subject is back with you. Wine, women, and song. You have approximately 7 seconds to discuss it.
There are many different kinds of wine, just as there are different women and different songs, but I'd like to concentrate on the first sentence, which is...
Oh! Yes, well, at the end of that round, Clement Freud is definitely in the lead. It's a fantastic lead, Clement. I must congratulate you. You're revealing intellectual prowess is I never knew you.
Oh, today. Shut up! He's got 2 points more than us, isn't he?
No good revealing your chagrin, Nicholas. I can actually see your chagrin from here. You are second, which is consoling, and
you're
Geraldine,
flouting
I'm afraid,
again, you know.
I'm afraid, lagging like the tortoise, Geraldine, you must look out. This is for you, Clement. Would you speak for 60 seconds on Benjamin Franklin, starting from now?
Benjamin Franklin, as you all know, is the captain of South Hampstead Cricket Club, one of the most vile exponents of underarm bowling. It has been my...
There's Nicholas Parson.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, I feel that's absolutely true. Yes. You have a point, and you can take the subject up. Benjamin Franklin, you have 45 seconds starting from now.
Having played against South Hampstead cricket, I can tell you that Benjamin Franklin's bowling is devastating. The last time I went out to face him, I asked...
Yes, Clement Freud?
Deviation. Underarm bowling is not devastating.
Yeah, precisely. I'm afraid that's a very definite point. Very valid. Very valid. Yes. You get 1 point, Clement, and the subject goes back to you. Benjamin Franklin, you've approximately 35 seconds starting from now.
Since I first met him, he has been transferred to West Hampstead Cricket Club, for whom he bowls overarm googlies, which are quite dangerous. He intersposes these with Chinamen from time to time, but...
Yes, Nicholas?
While I know it's a cricketing phrase, to me it is very devious to throw a Chinaman.
Throw a Chinaman?
He was throwing Chinaman, and yes. It sounds to me... He said they were dangerous, too. Dangerous Chinaman.
Bowling.
Yes. Yes, I think it's a practice which should be frowned upon. Yes. I don't think Chinamen are there to be thrown about. And that's an absolutely valid point. Yes, valid point. And you gain a point in so doing, and you have the subject back. You have approximately 20 seconds in which to discuss Benjamin Franklin, starting from now.
Of course, when I played against him and he was playing for West Hampstead Cricket, some of...
This is Geraldine Jones. You're challenging.
Repetition. He was playing against him last time you talked.
Yes, we've heard an awful lot
club.
About that.
A different club. He's
now, nonetheless, my
Mr.
rule
Fry.
Must prevail. We've heard an awful lot about it. Yes, Geraldine Jones gets the subject. You've approximately 15 seconds, Geraldine, in which to discuss Benjamin Franklin, starting from now.
The only Benjamin Franklin I have ever heard of, as the audience has only ever heard of him, is the American president. I don't quite know when he lived, but I believe that he has his head on some American coin, and all American Americans, being patriotic people, look upon him with a sort of friendly benevolence.
Yes, well, the next subject, this is for Nicholas Parsons. The subject is stirring up a hornet's nest. You have 60 seconds to discuss stirring up a hornet's nest without saying the, T-H-E-V. You must not say the, but you have 60 seconds to discuss stirring up a hornet's nest, starting from now.
One of the most...
Yes, that's totally true. Yes, it was the, wasn't it? He said the, Clement. Yes, you're quite right. You gain a point, and you have the subject stirring up a hornet's nest without saying the, starting from now.
One of a very unusual series of accidents befell me when I met some hornets walking down a street in Bayswater Village, which, as you all know, is outside Wiltshire Crematorium near Shaftesbury. These animals buzzed around my head in a perfectly alarming way, and an elderly sexton came up, asked whether perhaps he might be of assistance, to which I replied that would be an exceedingly kindly action, and touched my hat. Hornets...
Yes, Geraldine.
Hesitation.
I'm afraid there was a little hesitation there. Yes, you gain a point, Geraldine. And you have the subject stirring up a hornet's nest without saying the, and approximately 20 seconds to do so, starting from now.
So rich is our language in imagery that I lived to a great age before I realized that hornets were in fact wasps. I had always assumed that stirring up a hornet's nest meant simply making trouble accidentally.
Clement Freud?
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yes, quite definitely. Hesitation there. You have 1 point for that, and you have now got about 4 seconds in which to discuss stirring up a hornet's nest without saying the, starting from now.
Which does mean making trouble to some extent, but not...
Well, Clement, you're like a veritable greyhound in this race. And you are still leading. Nicholas still second. Geraldine still third. So let's see if we can make any difference with this one. Geraldine, it's for you. Can we speak for 60 seconds about blancmange? Blancmange. Without saying A. A. The letter A is on the card, not E-H. The letter A. You have 60 seconds starting from now.
I have long cherished the ambition to make blancmange a sort of ammunition.
Yes, I'm afraid you did say it. And Clement, I presume that was what your challenge was about?
Yes, it was.
Yes, you win a point and you have the subject. You have to discuss, you have 55 seconds to discuss blancmange without saying A, starting from now.
Blancmange, I seem to recall, is the race that takes place in France.
Nicholas, why
hesitation.
Are you hesitation, yes, I'm afraid there was hesitation there. So Nicholas gains a point, and you have the subject, Nicholas. Blancmange, without saying A, starting from now.
Blancmange was the most revolting matron I can ever remember.
Geraldine?
Hesitation.
Monsieur William!
Do the audience think he was hesitating? No, you do. You do. Now, come along. If you think he was hesitating, please say boo.
Boo.
Oh, well, then, Geraldine, you win. You get a point.
Not say cheer.
Yes, Geraldine gets the point. You have approximately 40 seconds starting from now.
There would be no deadlier weapon than blancmange. Imagine a fleet of jet...
Clement Freud, why are you challenging?
Imagine a fleet.
That's quite true. You did say it, I'm afraid. So you lose the subject. And it goes to you, Clement. Blancmange, without saying a... You have about 35 seconds starting from now.
Blancmange is the stickiest, ugliest, greasiest, most gelatinous substance in the...
Yes, Nicholas, why...
Repetition of adjectives.
Well, it's obvious they're all on your side. So you win the point. Nicholas, point to Nicholas, and the subject goes to you, Blancmange, without saying a approximately 30 seconds starting from now.
This matron Blancmange was at a boarding school.
Geraldine?
At a boarding school.
Yes, I'm afraid you said A. You see,
I said I deliberately.
You mustn't say A. Yes. So Geraldine gets a point, and it's you, your turn to speak about Blancmange. You've approximately, 25 seconds. Blancmange, without saying A, starting from now.
Great fleets of bombers would rush out and drop vast quantities of blancmange on the luckless enemy. I don't think that any napalm could have such a devastating...
Clement Freud?
Such a devastating...
A, yes, there you are. It was said again, you see. So it's Clement Freud's subject now. You have 15 seconds, starting from now.
Among other...
Geraldine, why did you challenge?
It was a cheat, really. Among.
No. Why can't it just... Quite unjustified. I don't think Ermung can ever be construed as er. No, I'm not having that.
I thought it
was a challenge to the very basis of my authority, isn't it? Yes, no, eh? No. You get it back, Clement. You still have 12 seconds in which to discuss Blancmange without saying A, starting from now.
This is, in many respects, the finest suite on a trolley.
Nicholas Parsons?
On a trolley.
Very well. You have to discuss Blancmange, Nicholas. It's 7 seconds you have, starting from now.
It is very difficult to discuss Blancmange in 7 seconds from now. Very difficult.
Oh. What is going? Oh, I was very worked up there myself. Oh, look, it's narrowing. The gap is definitely... The gap is definitely narrowing. It's Nicholas creeping up on Clement Freud, so Clement will have to watch it, and Geraldine still lagging a long way behind. So, the next one goes to you, Clement. You have 60 seconds in which to discuss yodeling without saying and, A-N-D. You mustn't say that at all. So, you have 6 seconds to discuss yodeling, starting from now.
Yodeling is an art form for which I myself have very little time indeed. It is performed by elderly Swiss up mountains, which they achieve this noise, I mean to say, by...
Yes?
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yes. Well, Geraldine, you get a point, and the subject goes to you, yodeling without saying and, about 45 seconds, starting from now.
In my opinion, yodeling should never have been allowed to escape from the Alps, where there was a reasonable chance that very few people would ever hear the ghastly noise that yodelers make. Unfortunately, pop singers caught on to the idea that yodeling in a much adulterated form could make a nice record, and so they...
Clement Freud, what's the basis of your challenge?
And...
And, yes, you did say it, dear. I'm sorry. Yes, you weren't very nice about yodeling. I do that in my bath. Oh, that was very rude. So, you get the subject back, Clement. Yodeling without saying and. About 35 seconds you have, starting from now.
I once did a program on television with Frank Ifield when he spent most of the 28 minutes allocated to the production in producing this fearsome noise to the absolute horror...
Geraldine, you're challenging?
Hesitation.
I didn't feel it. I didn't feel that. I didn't feel you really hesitating. So I'm afraid you lose that, and you lose a point, I'm afraid, yes. And you gain a point, Clement. And you have left 5 seconds in which to discuss yodeling without saying and, starting from now.
This is particularly exciting in the mountains of Lithuania when you...
Half a second to go and you were challenged. Oh, was it challenged? Nicholas, you challenged. What was the basis of
your challenge? Deviation. They do not yodel in the mountains of Lithuania.
Oh. Oh, don't they?
No.
I didn't say they did.
He didn't say they did. What did you say?
In the mountains of Lithuania, you hear very few yodelers.
Ah, well, very valid.
If he had let me speak.
Very valid point. Well, yes, it's a very valid point.
He's
it goes back...
twisting you round your
flubber. No, I couldn't be. I'm a man of enormous integrity. I've got a great integrity. Yes, we get it back to Clement to a half a second.
And he's got an enormous score.
Without saying, and starting from now.
Thank you.
Yes, you've won again. Oh. Oh, yes. Well, Clement is fantastically in the lead. You've dropped again behind, I'm afraid, Nicholas. and Geraldine third. Now, this is one we can catch up, Geraldine. It's for you. You have 60 seconds in which to discuss applause, starting from now.
Applause is really rather like money. It's much nicer to receive it than to give it. If you're sitting in the middle of an audience and you have to clap, the chances are that you'll feel your individuality slipping away from you. You're just one of a mass of ordinary people. If, on the other hand, you're on the stage and you're receiving the applause, you feel tremendously exhilarated. You think all these good people out there are clapping you, just you, and you can...
Oh, what a pity. Nicholas
Challenge.
Three
U's, you know. You.
Yes, repetition. You are right. My sympathy, though, was engaged.
Oh, I know my sympathy, but you see, Clement Freud's still in the lead. I've got to fight.
Yes, you have. You've got to fight. Yes, you get 1 point, yes, and it's your subject, then. Your subject, applause, with 35 seconds starting from now.
There are different kinds of applause. There is the slow hand clap, the fast hand clap. There's one that comes like a pistol shot, as usually somebody just swatting a fly. There are some that makes you sound as if a barber was stropping his razor. But of course, applause basically comes from that old Latin one, plaw and al. Now, Al was a very interesting chap in Roman times. He was the one who walked over the Alps with Hannibal, and when he got to the top...
Geraldine, why are you challenging?
Deviation. He's talking about applause, not applause.
Yes, that's perfectly valid. Yes, absolutely valid point. You gain 1 point, Geraldine. The subject back to you. Applause with 12 seconds starting from now.
The better the applause, the louder it is. It's nice, too, when people add to the clapping by standing up, even standing on their chairs, even standing on the backs of their chairs, in order to...
Yes. Well, our little lady won that round. Really wonderful. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, and more power to your elbow, darling. Geraldine creeping up a little now, but Clement Freud, I'm afraid, still in the lead, and Nicholas still second. So we go to the next subject now, which is a Clement. Clement, will you talk for 60 seconds on annual reports, starting from now?
Annual reports have an extraordinary tendency of coming once a year. They're made by chairmen or managing directors of companies at boring meetings where the news that are given them are only alleviated to some extent by the handing around of food and drink. Many of the food-producing companies on the stock market have these annual meetings in hotels, and shareholders only turn up to get a small parcel of goodies like bacon, beer, and fried potato crisps, which they then take out.
Yes, Nicholas?
I don't the bacon, beer, and potato crisps has got anything to do with the annual report. I consider that to be deviation.
Yes, I'm afraid you're absolutely right, and you gain a point, and the subject is yours. Annual reports with 20 seconds starting from now.
I'm sorry that you asked me to talk about annual reports, because it is a very difficult subject.
Oh, yes, Clement Freud, you're challenging?
Deviation.
Deviation, yes.
It was his own fault.
Quite so, it was. Yes, absolutely true. Very true. Absolutely. Yes. And the subject goes back to you, Clement. So you have 20 seconds in which to discuss annual reports starting from now.
Because the financial year finishes in April, annual reports tend to take place in the early months of the year so that the budget can take into account...
Geraldine?
Hesitation.
Yes, there was a little hesitation there. You gain 1 point, and the subject is yours. You've approximately 8 seconds to discuss annual reports starting from now.
The only possible way to make annual reports interesting is to invent them. There is nothing more fun than sitting at a committee meeting when you know that all the people present have been present at the meeting.
Oh, and you've won that round. Oh, well, this is fantastic. You're really creeping up, darling. Oh, this is wonderful. You're level now with Nicholas Parsons. Isn't that fantastic? Yes. So both of you are miles behind Clement. Next one is... Oh, no, that's the end, isn't it? Oh, this is the end. We can't have any more. No, so that's the end, I'm afraid, of... Wait a minute. And we'll be back... what's that?
Deviation is called Just a Minute, not Wait a Minute.
Oh, is it?
The chairman of Just a Minute this week was Kenneth Williams. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.